Hi everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Turn number 686. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, or sponsorships, please email me at rabbiismach@take10fortorah.org. Leave a review, 5 stars, okay, 4, whatever. Let's say something nice, that would be very beneficial, and it will allow more people to find the podcast. Also, sharing would work too. Okay, so today I wanted to discuss something that comes up in all of these parashios and bereishis, and that is the topic of berachos. We often find that, like in last week's parsha, we have Yaakov and Esav who are debating, fighting over, sort of being a little bit sneaky about the brachos of Yitzchak. We have Avraham being blessed. We have this week's parsha, we have Lavan blessing his daughters. We have at the end in Vayechi, we have Yaakov blessing his sons. What is the nature of all of these blessings? Like, what exactly is happening with all of this? So the first, maybe original example of blessing is in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, where God tells Avraham, Lech Lecha mi'aretzcha mi'moladcha mi'beis avicha el ha'aretz asher areka. Go forth from this land into the land that I will show you. And here is going to be the reward for doing so. Ve'escha l'gai gadol, I'll make you into a great nation. Ve'ava rechecha, and I will bless you. Ve'agadla shemecha, and I will make your name great. Ve'yei bracha. And you shall be bracha, or something will be bracha. So generally the idea of God blessing somebody and God giving a person things is how we assume the world works. We assume that it's the beneficence of God to which we owe the things that we have. Of course, you know, this week we'll have to talk about Thanksgiving and gratitude and all of that. But we, of course, thank God specifically for what we have. Now Rashi understands that specifically here, Avram is being told v'heye bracha, and that means habrachos nisunos biyodecha. Brachos are now in your hands, Avraham. That is part of the reward, part of the greatness of what you are doing. You are now going to be able to give brachos. Now that's fascinating. You can give brachos. You can innovate, you can create, you could be mechadesh. You can now create something from nothing. Tell a person he's going to get $1 million, and it seems that that will now happen. The pasuk continues, "Va'avarcha mevarachecha makalelcha ar." One who blesses you will be blessed. One who curses you will be cursed. V'nivruchu v'chalka mishpachas v'adama, and through you other families will be blessed. Now that v'nivruchu v'chal could be just simply understood as they will use you as a blessing, meaning, hey, be like Abraham's family. They're so wonderful. They're so ethical. They're so nice. They're so kind. But what Rashi seems to be teaching here is one of these lines is v'yei bracha, you now have the power to give brachos. To be clear, this is Rashi's pshat. Others disagree. Others understand you will be blessed. That's the meaning of the phrase. Or whatever you do will be blessed. Things that you do will have blessing in it. Not that you have the power to bless others. So, but this idea does come up over here in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. And the question is, so what does it mean? Like, what's the nature of blessing? And we know that there's a industry of people who go to others and they get blessings from them, righteous people, tzaddikim, rebbes, this type of thing occurs. So I'd like to understand that a little bit more. We have in Toldos as well, last week we talked about the brachos of Yaakov and Esav. Again, in those brachos, they seem to be jockeying for who's going to get them, as if Yitzchak is being mechadesh, he's innovating something. The Sfarno says that's not exactly what's going on. For example, he says when Yitzchak tells Esav to go out and get him food, the idea is he wants him to be doing a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, and when he does this mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, then what he is blessing him with has something to work on. It's almost as if he's saying that when you do a mitzvah and Yitzchak is guiding the merit of that mitzvah in a particular way, that it should be a bracha in this particular list of outcomes. Okay, that's perhaps a mitigating idea of a bracha. The person who gives the bracha can't just say whatever he wants to a person, whoever he wants, but rather that person has to be in the midst of doing a mitzvah, and the reward for that mitzvah now parlays into the bracha that was said. The Ramban is even more specific. The Ramban says that the bracha that he was giving wasn't actually an innovative bracha. He wasn't doing anything for the first time, but rather, Hayu b'dayto l'varecho so, sheyizkehu b'brachos Avraham, linchol es ha'aretz. There was a bracha that was given to Avraham by God. Now the question is, which of the children is going to be the one to continue that legacy and receive the bracha that grandpa got? So that was the question over here. There wasn't anything innovative. There wasn't anything here done for the first time, but rather it was that same bracha continued. In this week's parasha, we have Vayashkim Lavan Baboker. When Lavan departs, when Yaakov and his wives leave Lavan, he kisses his children and his grandchildren, Vayivarach Eshem, and he blesses them. He blesses them. The Svarno on those words says, first of all, this blessing is powerful for two reasons. Number one, more so, he says that it's more powerful, is because it's a parent to a child. And we're going to talk about that a different week, in a few weeks from now. But he says that, number one, the first reason that this blessing, even from a lover, who is a swindler and a cheat and not such a great guy, is because of a notion that we find in the Gemara in Megillah that he says is called Al Tehi Berchos Hejot Kala Be'enecha. A person should not take the blessings of another person, whoever that person is, lightly. The Gemara that he's referring to is the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says, indeed, the bracha of a random person should not be taken lightly by you. And it gives two examples of David and Daniel, each who were blessed by random people. One, in the case, David was blessed by Aravna at the end of Sefer Shmuel, who he was buying a tract of land from in Yerushalayim, and it was on this land that the Beis HaMikdash would be built. And so this Aravna told him that he should be blessed, and there was a plague going on because of a census, and the plague goes away. And so the Gemara ties the two together and says, because of this bracha, that's why the plague went away. Daniel, who was thrown into a pit of lions, hungry lions, was told by Daryavesh, who was the king at the time, may the God that you pray to save you. And so again, each one was blessed, and each one had the outcome that the blessing indicated. And so these people aren't great righteous people who gave the blessing. And so the Gemara learns from here that even a hedyot, even a basic blessing, should be taken seriously. And then finally, the Gemara concludes that this is true of a curse too. Al tehe kilolas hedyot kala be'enecha. And the question is, like, why? Why would it be that these things are so important? What is the nature of these blessings that other people are giving you? So first of all, the Rashba, in a response that talks about this Gemara, and says, when we say hedyot, we don't actually mean the bracha of anybody. The bracha of anybody does not necessarily mean anything. But hedyot, the word doesn't mean like a plain commoner, but hedyot means a person who's like a second in command, like a vice, like a kohen hedyot is not just any random person. A kohen hedyot is a second in command. So we're not talking about like necessarily level one, but even level two, but level three, four, five, six, etc., those brachos don't necessarily work. Others disagree. The Merume Sada, the Netziv, for example, says that as a matter of fact, Jews or non-Jews, hedyot can include anybody, and anybody's bracha should be taken significantly and is important. So what's going on over here? What are these brachos about, and why should we, or whether should we at all pursue them? So the Sefer HaChinuch talks about this, and the Sefer HaChinuch says, it's not clear. He says, "Afal pi she'ein banu koach ledas be'eza inyan tenuach haklal b'makol." He says, we're not sure exactly how this works, but everybody assumes, and I'm translating loosely, everybody assumes, he says, that it works. Everybody says that sheklalos b'nei adam, people's curses, gam kilas hejo, and even the curse of a commoner, tasa roshem, makes an impression, bimakulal, etc. And he says, he assumes that there's something to it, although he doesn't essentially understand the mechanics to it. He then says that there's another element over here that you should remember. There's the power of speech. The power of speech is what makes us inherently human. It's our tzelem elokim. According to many, that's what makes us in the image of God, and that's what makes us unique and special, and there's a lot of power in the speech and the things that we say. But he also tells us that maybe it's about us being careful, and as the Torah says, lo tekalel cheresh, we're not supposed to curse people, even if the people don't hear the curse. He says there's a pragmatic issue involved as well, that if I curse the person to myself, it's not only that maybe we worry that the thing will actually happen, but maybe the person's going to hear about the curse. You know, the walls have ears, and maybe that person's going to find out about it, and that will be bad. So it's really an interpersonal thing that the Torah is doing, not necessarily that the curse works, but that the person might find out, and that would destroy the relationship. He then quotes the Rambam, where the Rambam says that really the cursing problem is about nekama, it's about vengeance, it's about if somebody does something to me and I curse them in return, how will that devolve and destroy this relationship? And because it will destroy this relationship, I am exhorted by the Torah to avoid such behaviors that could destroy a relationship. And so there's a very rational look at curses, which it seems doesn't understand exactly how they work. Even the Chinuch, who says they work, isn't exactly clear about how they do. And there's more to talk about, but I'll just end with a story with Reb David Feinstein, who just passed away a couple weeks ago, and the story was published in Mishpacha magazine. And so Reb David was a Litvish or Rosh Hashiva, wasn't the type to give brachos, but he would indeed give brachos. And people would talk about his brachos, amazing, and they would accomplish great things, and he would make promises and to people, and the things would occur, or others would respond as soon as he made the promise that, you know what, it's in the bank, it's going to happen. And so when he was asked the question about why is it that he gives these brachos, and how he has this this effect. So Talmud commented, however, on the fact that when Rosh Hashiva had become a worker of wonders, Reb David gave his dry, quiet laugh. He says, the reason they think that is because that's because no one says the stories that didn't work out. And so, whether or not brachos work, whether or not they do not work, there's something to be studied, and there's much more to discuss. Have a great day.